The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 2, text number 41, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on November 17th, 2009, in Vrindavan, India.
So, tonight we are blessed in the most holiest of all places, Sri Vrindavan Dham, with the most auspicious of all opportunities to study Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Puri Vajrakacharya, Astatarasadu Shri Srimadhi Si Bhakti Vedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Tonight it will be chapter number 2, text number 41. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Vyasaya Atmika Buddhi Eka Iha Kurunandana Bohushaka Hi Ananta Cha Buddhaya Avyavyasayanam Yavyasayatmaka Buddhir Ekeha Kurunandana Bohushaka Hyanantascha Buddhayo Vyasayanam Yavyasayatmaka Buddhir Ekeha Kurunandana Bohushaka Hyanantascha Buddhayo Vyasayanam Vyavisaya Atmika. Resolute in Krishna consciousness. Buddhi, intelligence. Eka, only one. Iha, in this world. Kuru Nandana, O beloved child of the Kurus. Bhushaka, having various branches. He, indeed. Ananta, unlimited. Cha, also, Buddhayaha, intelligence. Avyavyasayanam, of those who are not in Krishna consciousness. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. A strong faith that by Krishna consciousness one will be elevated to the highest perfection of life is called Vyasayatmika, intelligence. The Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya 2262 states, Shraddha Shabde Vishvasa Kahi Sudhirda Nishchaya Krishna Bhakti Kaila Sarva Karma Krita Haya. Faith means unflinching trust in something sublime. When one is engaged in the duties of Krishna consciousness, he need not act in relationship to the material world with obligations to family traditions, humanity, or nationality. Fruitive activities are the engagement of one's reactions from past good or bad deeds. When one is awake in Krishna consciousness, he need no longer endeavor for good results in his activities. When one is situated in Krishna consciousness, all activities are on the absolute plane, for they are no longer subject to dualities like good and bad. The highest perfection of Krishna consciousness is renunciation of the material conception of life. This state is automatically achieved by progressive Krishna consciousness. The resolute purpose of a person in Krishna consciousness is based on knowledge. Vasudeva sarvamati sa mahatma sudurlabha. A person in Krishna consciousness is the rare good soul who knows perfectly that Vasudeva or Krishna is the root of all manifested causes. As by watering the root of a tree, one automatically distributes water to the leaves and branches, so by acting in Krishna consciousness, one can render the highest service to everyone, namely self, family, society, country, humanity, etc. If Krishna is satisfied by one's actions, then everyone will be satisfied. Service in Krishna consciousness is, however, best practiced under the able guidance of a spiritual master who is a bona fide representative of Krishna, who knows the nature of the student and who can guide him to act in Krishna consciousness. This defeats the ritvix right away. As such, to be well versed in Krishna consciousness, one has to act firmly and obey the representative of Krishna, and one should accept the instruction of the bona fide spiritual master as one's mission in life. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur instructs us in his famous prayer for the spiritual master as follows. Yasyam prasadahan bhagavat prasado yasyam prasadana gati kutopi Dayanstuvangs tasya yasastri sanyang Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. By satisfaction of the spiritual master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes satisfied. And by not satisfying the spiritual master, there is no chance of being promoted to the plane of Krishna consciousness. I should therefore meditate and pray for his mercy 3 times a day and offer my respectful obeisances unto him, my spiritual master. The whole process, however, depends on perfect knowledge by the soul beyond the conception of the body, not theoretically, but practically, when there is no longer a chance for sense gratification manifested in fruitive activities. One who is not firmly fixed in mind is diverted by various types of fruitive acts.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Shcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raguna Tanvitam Tam Sajima Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakarvitamscha.
So you can't cheat Krishna, not possible. As Prabhupada so aptly points out, not theoretically but practically. And what does practical mean? No more sense gratification. That's practical situation in Krishna consciousness. Is that artificial renunciation? That I want it, but I can't have it? No. Jamunacharya Albandru is very nicely sung in this connection. Yadavadi mamacheta Krishna padaravinde Nava-nava-rasa-dhamanu-nyat-tarantum-asit tadavadi battanari sangame smaryamane bhavati mukushushtu vikarashushtu nishtivanam cha. He was formerly a king. He was enjoying sense gratification like anything. The old days, the Indian kings really had it. Talk about sense gratification. They really had it. But he said, now that I have engaged, and now that I have gotten this engagement in the service of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, tasting what? Nava Nava Rasa. Newer and newer taste at every second, you see. Now that I have gotten this Nava Nava Rasa, newer and newer taste every minute, you see. If some little rascal monkey thought of sense gratification comes swinging into the branches of my mind, like these Vrindavan monkeys, you know. Come, little monkey comes swinging in, sex, sex, sex. What does he do? Does he embrace that monkey? No, he spits on the monkey. He spits on that sex enjoyment. Because he is getting so much nectar from Krishna consciousness. So this is what it actually means to become Krishna conscious. It means to be diving deeply into an ocean of unlimited nectar. You see, that is Krishna consciousness. That's when we're really fixed up, you see, when we're tasting that nectar at every minute, ever-increasing nectar at every minute. But right now, it's an austerity for us too much of the time, let's admit it. I don't want to do that, but I have to do it because Prabhupada said, or my Guru Maharaj said, I have to do this. So how do we get from point A to point B? And that's the real question. Right now we're struggling, battling it out with these senses. Drinking poison, is it? How do we get from point A to point B? That's the process of silent bhakti. And that's what Prabhupada has described for us in detail in these wonderful, wonderful books, and he created a whole movement to facilitate us making that transformation from point A to point B. We can see the difference here. Those who are fixed in Krishna consciousness, who are really tasting that nectar, you see, they have one pointed, A-K-Ha, you see. A-K-I-Ha. In this world, they have only one aim, and that is Krishna, 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 Krishna. They don't have a splayed-out brain that's going here and every here, there, and everywhere in every direction, looping the loop around the Milky Way. They don't have such a splayed-out brain, you see. They simply know, well, my Guru Maharaj has given me this order, and I have to carry it out. It's my life and soul. You see. As I mentioned, I gave a little aside when I was reading the purport. These Vritiks say that only Prabhupada can be the guru, but here it mentions a guru who actually knows the nature of the student and who personally engages him in a specific way. This is talking about a living spiritual master, flesh and blood guru. It's very clear, you see. Here's a flesh and blood guru who actually knows you. He knows your name. He knows your qualities. And he engages you specifically according to your qualities. See, that is described here in this verse. You see. So, this is the actual method of how to get from point A to point B. It's by taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and fully surrendering his instructions. Prabhupada is the example par excellence of such surrender. He got that order, distribute this Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world. Was it comprehensible to him how that could ever be done? No. It was like mission impossible. Spread Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world. Mission impossible. But Guru Maharaj said, so I have to do, somehow or other. You see, the disciple doesn't think, well, this is not a practical instruction. He simply thinks, I've been given this order and that's it. Somehow I have to do it. You all know the story of that South Indian Brahmin in that Rangachatra temple. He was instructed by his spiritual master that every day you should read 18 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. Now, that's not so difficult. I mean, you know, especially just to read the Sanskrit. But there was only one catch. He couldn't read. He was illiterate. In spite of his illiteracy, his spiritual master ordered him, every day you read the entire Gita. So he would sit there in the temple. Of course, in those days, they didn't have these printed books. They had a handwritten manuscript. You know, with a, you know, the pundits would write by hand. So he had the Gita there, and he would turn the pages and looking at it, trying to serve his spiritual master's order. And everybody, he was the laughing stock of the temple. Everybody was saying, oh, that Brahman over there. Illiterate Brahman. He thinks he's reading the Bhagavad Gita. Ha, ha, ha. It's a big joke around the community. But he didn't care that they were making fun of him. Lord Chaitanya happened upon that temple when he was doing his pilgrimage to South India. And he also heard this talk going on, this chatter going on about the illiterate Brahmin who read the Bhagavad Gita. So he thought, let me check out this Brahmin. Let me check out this illiterate Brahmin who read the Bhagavad Gita. He went in the temple room and there he was. And this Brahmin, of course, was used to being ridiculed and laughed at, and he was kind of callous to it. But now he saw somebody approaching him in a different mood. Lord Chaitanya said, Brahman, you're reading Bhagavad Gita? He could see, this person is, Prabhupada said, he could see, this person has not come to criticize me. So, Chaitanya spoke, you can imagine how sweet his voice must have sounded. We cannot, it's actually inconceivable for us how sweet Lord Chaitanya's voice would be. We can try to make a crude approximation, but of course it's nowhere. And my dear Brahman, you're reading Bhagavad Gita. How is that? You're illiterate. You're reading Bhagavad Gita. He said, yes, what can I do? My spiritual master has ordered me that every day I must read 18 chapters. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, but Brahmana, I see you're not only trying to read, you're crying also, Brahmana. Why are you crying? He said, when I take this Bhagavad Gita, I see they have put one painting here with the text, you see. And I see that Krishna, he is acting as the charioteer of Arjuna. And I'm thinking, oh, Krishna is so kind, he's driving the chariot of his devotee. And when I think of how he is so kind like that, I simply start crying. Lord Chaitanya then embraced him. He said, Brahman, you are the real scholar of Bhagavad Gita. You see. So, this is the mood we must have, you see. If we want to go from point A to point B, if we want to actually enter into that ocean of unlimited nectar, you see. If we want to dive deeply and surf in the waves of that ocean of unlimited nectar, then we must have this faith in the order of Guru Maharaj, you see. Whatever he tells me, that is my life and soul. It may seem practical, it may seem completely impractical. Like Prabhupada told the devotees who had no never published anything. Now you start a magazine, Bhakti Guided Magazine, and make it more popular than Time Magazine. You see? So, one should simply take whatever order one has received from one's Guru Maharaj as one's life and soul. Prabhupada explains in his purport to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, not only meditate on that order, but you worship that order. Just imagine if you had the order, like you received a letter from your spiritual master, you posted it, you put it in a frame on the altar, and every day you offered arti to that letter. Not literally, I'm saying, but that's the consciousness of worshipping those words of one spiritual master. Of worshipping them, you see. Constantly meditating upon and worshipping the orders received from one spiritual master. And I can tell you, it works magic. I got an order when I first got initiated. I got an order from Prabhupada, and I decided to embrace that order, and it really works. I was just some crazy character, but I was associating with Vishnu Janaswamy. He was a very fired up, empowered preacher, very enthusiastic to push forward this movement. So when I got initiated, Prabhupada was in London, actually on his way to Africa. You may have been in Africa at the time, but he was on his way to Nairobi. Were you in Nairobi? He was on his way to Nairobi, actually. But I got initiated there by letters. So Prabhupada, normally you turn your dakshina in right after the yajna, but Prabhupada was not there. Vishnu Jamaraj did the yajna on Prabhupada's order. So I thought, this is a golden opportunity. Wow, I get to mail my dakshini to Prabhupada and I can send him a letter along with it. Wow, what a golden opportunity. I get to write Prabhupada a letter. Wow, great. So being with Vishnu John Maharaj and always, we've got to spread this movement, let's spread the movement. He was always in that mood, see. Revolutionize the planet, you know, that kind of mood. So I said, Prabhupada, I'd like to spread this movement. Some little comment like that in the letter along with the dakshina. And Prabhupada really picked up on that. That little comment, he really picked up on it. In spite of my innumerable disqualifications, he said, I can see that you're... First of all, he gave the exact amount of the three checks down to the penny. He was very, very pukka in accounting activities, you see. He noted the three checks for the exact amounts that were given. That was the first thing he did. I received these checks of this amount, and make sure there was no thievery going on or whatever, you know. And then he said, I can see that you're a very sincere and enthusiastic boy who is eager for spreading this Krishna consciousness movement. He said, now if you will simply continue enthusiastically as you are doing, surely Krishna will bless you. So I decided to embrace that order, you see. You got to always be enthusiastic. It doesn't matter, hell or high water, you know. I mean, we've seen especially since Prabhupada left the planet, and even while I was here, you know, there's so many ups and downs, spinning around, all kinds of, you know, wild things have gone in our movement. Let's face the reality. But it didn't matter. It didn't matter because Prabhupada said to always be enthusiastic, and if I did, then Krishna would bless me, and he has been. I've always maintained my enthusiasm for all these years, 38 years now, and Krishna has been constantly blessing me. So it works. What I'm saying is practical, it's not just theoretical. If you will dedicate yourself to the orders that you receive from your spiritual master, or if you don't have one, get qualified and get one. And that's the system. If you will do that, and you take those orders as your life and soul, I guarantee you, you will be swimming in that ocean of bliss 24 hours a day. And sometimes surfing on the waves, sometimes deep sea diving. But you'll be in that ocean of bliss, tasting the sweetest nectar of Krishna consciousness. And you'll become empowered to attract more and more souls to join this movement in this way, by this process of becoming empowered and empowering others who can empower others who can empower others, we can actually completely flood this planet with Krishna Bhakti. Actually, Lord Chaitanya did that when he was touring South India. It's amazing. Prabhupada explained that just by walking down the road, he made all of South India Krishna conscious. How is it possible to do that? Here's how he did it. He wrote that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yeah. He was walking down the road, chanting japa, and people would see him. You know, the farmers would see him, they'd be absolutely amazed. And they would just they become a pure devotee instantly just by seeing him. And they became a pure devotee, forget about my farm, forget about my business, and they would just start walking with him. They just joined his little walking party, padayatra. Chaitanya's padayatra. And they just joined his padayatra party. And then they would come to an intersection. He'd say, now you go down that way, you go down that way. And those devotees, they were similarly empowered. Anyone who saw them instantly became a pure devotee and joined their little padayatra, which became bigger and bigger and bigger. And then they sent their people down this road and that road, and this way it just fanned out, and all of South India, Prabhupada said that all of South India became Krishna conscious. So it's really, that same Shakti can come here right now, 2009. We just have to fully embrace the orders that are coming down from His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada as our very life and soul, you see. The spiritual masters in ISKCON, they have to purely transmit to their disciples the mercy, the Shakti, the blessings, the nectar that's coming to them from Srila Prabhupada. And those disciples have to fully accept that mercy and pass it on to others. And in this way, we can actually revolutionize this planet in 18 days, Prabhupada said. They're all worried about global warming and terrorism and, you know, economic upheaval. In 18 days, all these problems can be completely solved. We just have to fully accept this principle given by Prabhupada in this verse. Fully embrace this principle, you see. And then in 18 days, the whole world can become Krishna conscious. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yeah.
So you said if we fully embrace the instruction of our spiritual master, and I know you said a little bit about that, can you elaborate even more?
How to fully accept these instructions? Fully embrace? I like the word embrace because it's not like some. It's love. Embrace means love, doesn't it? Yeah. So it means I love the orders I receive from my spiritual master. I take them, I embrace them, you see. I take them into my heart. They're my dearmost treasure, you see. It's not that, oh, I was told to do this and I have to do this. Like you're working at some company, you know, and the boss gives you an order and says, not like that. It's embracing. This means, oh, this is mercy. And you just take it tightly into your heart. And totally dedicate yourself to it. That's why we say embrace the orders.
The word what if you didn't receive a direct instruction?
Actually, the direct instructions are all, these instructions in the books are just as direct as any personal instructions that anyone got. They're just as direct. We shouldn't think otherwise. The personal ones are nice, there's no doubt. But these are all personal instructions from Prabhupada to each one of his followers, his disciples, his grand disciples, his great grand disciples, his great great grand disciples, his great 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 grand disciples, his great 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 grand disciples. These are all direct instructions to Prabhupada's followers for the next 10,000 years at least. So anybody can open up these books. They can see Prabhupada is directly speaking to you. You can read the line. You can say, this is Prabhupada talking directly to me personally. Everyone can take these instructions this way. And we all have Prabhupada as our personal property then. If we give our hearts to Prabhupada, then he becomes our personal property. As father, grandfather, great-grandfather, etc. Yeah.
Well, Lord Chaitanya gave that instruction that whoever you meet, you should tell them about Krishna.
Yeah.
That's the instruction for everybody who's
here. Yes. Everyone's been ordered, you become guru.
Yes.
By teaching everyone about Krishna, yes. That is, in fact, Prabhupada explains in one purport that just as Krishna has given the order, surrender unto me, that same order coming through Lord Chaitanya is Yare Deka Tarikaha Krishna Pudas. So in this Kali Yuga, surrender to Krishna means preaching. If you don't preach, you're not surrendering. Simple. Surrender means preaching. Preaching means surrender. Yeah.
So you said earlier that the disciples should qualify themselves first to get receive the message.
I said that?
Yes. That the disciples should qualify himself.
Of course, the mercy comes even without qualification. That is called causeless mercy. But by qualification, we can get more of the mercy. Just like you qualify yourself by chanting 16 rounds or following the regulated principles. You see, now you're qualifying yourself to get even more mercy. You understand? The mercy of the pure devotee is causelessly being bestowed upon everyone. Just as the rain falls everywhere. It falls on the fertile soil and the rocks also, you see. This fertile soil is qualified to take full advantage of that rain, and the rocks are not. So we have to turn our rock-like, we have to become like soil, fertile soil instead of rocks. So it is causeless, but the more we reciprocate with it, that is our qualification. How do you reciprocate with the order of the spiritual master? By sincerely trying to carry it out? The order is there for everyone. So the more we sincerely try to carry out, that means we become more and more qualified to receive the mercy. You understand? Isn't it confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita? Ye yata mang prapadyante tangsta chaya bhajam yaham. Isn't it a fact? Inasmuch as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So the more you surrender, the more you're qualified to get the reward. Although the mercy is given to everyone, those who are more surrendered, they are able to receive more of that mercy. You understand? Question?
It's been one of my points that you just mentioned.
Yeah, Krishna, you come here.
The guru dwells and lives within the disciple, and that's where you can find the guru.
This is my hearing aid, and I'm going to repeat what you said.
It's been my point of contention that you made a point of that the guru dwells within the disciples. And if you want to know where the guru is, you know there may be some man up there saying, I'm the guru. If you don't find it in the disciples, you haven't found that is not the guru.
Okay, what's he saying?
I said one of the contention that you said the guru dwells within the disciples.
That's right. Spiritual master, if you embrace the order of your spiritual master as your life and soul, then your spiritual master actually moves into your heart and takes up residence in your heart. That's the thing.
But that is the way you can tell a real master.
That is the way you can tell the real master.
Prabhupada explains that the way, of course, there are many, many tests that Prabhupada has given for understanding who is the bona fide spiritual master. One is given in the Puranas. And it is very easy to find a spiritual master who can pick your pocket and take your money. It is very difficult to find a spiritual master who can rob your heart of all the anxieties sitting there, you see. So we have to find that master thief. You see, who can rob all of our anxieties. That is the spiritual master.
Yes. But you can tell where the guru is by the disciples.
Yes, you can judge. That's a fact. You can judge a tree by its fruit. If he is producing disciples who are pure, who are knowledgeable, who are blissful, and who are merciful, then you know he must be something going with that spiritual master. Yeah.
That's one of the ways of telling a true guru from a false guru.
If he's producing pure devotees, those who are purely following are the acharyas, then you know he's bona fide.
Then we have intelligence. You can't have intelligence without the guru.
You can't have the intelligence without the guru.
Huh?
You can't have the intelligence without the guru. That's how we can know what guru is.
Yes, that's true, but the intelligence not only comes from guru, it also comes from sadhus and shastra. There's a three-way check and balance system. From guru, we know what is bona fide scripture, and we know who are bona fide sadhus. From the sadhus, we know who is bona fide guru and what is bona fide shastra, and from shastra, we know what is bona fide sadhus and what is bona fide guru. It's a three-way check and balance system. When all three line up, then you know you're in the right position.
That's the three B's. Bhagavan, they have to all be the same. If one is different from the other, there's something wrong.
And there is Bhagavan, there is devotee and bhakti, and they have to be all the same. If they are different, there is something wrong.
Yes, that's right. Any other question?
My question was, how do you maintain enthusiasm? What is within you that assists you to maintain it?
Well, it's knowing that it's a simple knowledge that if I maintain my enthusiasm, I'm going to get the mercy.
But is it will? Is it your own will? Is it your willpower, or what is it?
It's faith. It's knowing that if I maintain my enthusiasm, that Prabhupada's mercy, Krishna's mercy will be showering upon me. It's this faith in that. That the beginning principle of the bhakti process is faith, shraddha. As Prabhupada elaborates here, faith means unflinching trust in something sublime. So if you have that unflinching faith in this sublime principle, that's the basis. It's that faith, that trust, that by always maintaining my enthusiasm that I will get the mercy. That's what it's based on, faith. Yes?
One can increase one's enthusiasm by associating with others who have that enthusiasm.
That's right. Faith is a contagious disease. If you find people who have strong faith in Prabhupada and the institution that he created, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and you keep your contact with those people in a very nice, sweet, loving relationship of six loving exchanges as given by Srila Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada, then in that sangha, your faith will grow like a luxurious tree yielding unlimited mangoes. Yeah.
Yeah. In the nature of what
is... I recognized her.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says the spiritual master sees the nature of the disciple and instructs him.
Yeah.
So, and then you gave this the moral, the story of the, or pastime of the illiterate Brahman.
Mm-hmm.
So, is there a way that the spiritual master can give a contradictory nature?
Can do what?
Because the
way that he can do
nature,
what?
The nature of that illiterate Brahman, he was illiterate.
Yeah.
So the spiritual master gave him the instruction to read.
He gave him an instruction such that he became qualified by the special mercy of Lord Chaitanya. I would be happy to have such an instruction. Even though it seems impossible. You could say, well, the guru didn't know the nature of his disciple. He gave him the order to read when he didn't even know how to read. How did he know the nature of his disciple? But actually, that was Krishna's special arrangement, special mercy, that he would get embraced by Lord Chaitanya. I mean, I wouldn't mind having an impossible order if I get Lord Chaitanya's embrace. Yes.
I was told by the acharyas say that it's not that he was completely illiterate. He simply wasn't very well versed in the Sanskrit. And he wasn't very good at it. So he had mispronunciation.
I see. Yeah, I heard it. Prabhupada told us. I'm going from the version I heard Prabhupada tell in Los Angeles. But yeah, it's the same point. Yeah. Yeah.
But to that point, nowadays, if the spiritual master gives the instruction, they will think that the spiritual master is not bona fide.
Well, sometimes it happens. The disciple thinks they know more than the spiritual master. And they think, well, you know, he told me, he gave me an order I don't like, so I'm going to reject him. I mean, it happens. And what can I say? Such persons don't know the signs of bhakti and they'll suffer. They just don't know. All right.
Enthusiasm. In agreement with what you say, but I also notice that enthusiasm, unless you are challenged, this enthusiasm cannot grow. You have to be challenged.
Enthusiasm cannot grow unless it is challenged.
Really? Why is that? Why do you say that? I'm curious why you say that. I don't understand.
Because there's no test.
Because there's no test.
You're always tested. When I first started out...
This is like the spiritual master orders you to chant Hare Krishna. What is... why do you... I agree that challenges are stimulating. But even if there's no challenge, one can grow in one's enthusiasm.
But then when you are challenged, because you can't escape challenges here, well, you would fall.
Huh? You were supposed to be over here. Why didn't you move?
One cannot continue with the challenges. If you cannot make the challenges, then you will fall.
Well, Krishna will never give you a challenge beyond what you can handle. Krishna is very kind. He will give you, sometimes the challenges come, just like when you're a student in the university, you must have tests, isn't it? So the teacher gives a test that you can pass if you've done your homework and you've attended the lectures, etc. So the tests are not there to hold you back, they're to empower you to move forward. So the challenges that we sometimes face on the path of bhakti, or we oftentimes face on the path of bhakti, are the special mercy of Krishna to help us, to empower us to move forward even more quickly. So one has to have faith that Krishna will never give me a challenge beyond what I can handle if I'm feeling dependent on His mercy and Guru's mercy for handling the challenge. If I think that I'm the doer, well, guess what? I'm going to fall flat on my face. Not offering obeisances, but called blunder.
That's the challenge. The learning experience.
The learning experience is the challenge.
I had him here to tell me.
That's the challenge, this learning experience.
That's what it is?
That's the challenge, this learning experience.
He's having that?
He's not.
Oh, yeah.
Making a statement.
What's he saying?
He's just making a statement.
Any other questions? Everybody's fired up now to be enthusiastic. Always enlivened. To engage in the process of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, etc., etc. Everyone's ready to dive into the ocean of nectar. Revolutionize your heart and revolutionize the planet. Everyone's ready. Okay, go get them. Let's make the world Krishna conscious. Thank you very much. Raja Vidya Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Jai.